Joining me on the July edition of Our Town are a couple of folks with Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center. One is Ruth Frank. She's the Chief Nursing Officer and the VP of Nursing Care. And Shayna Hogan, she is a system analyst and worker with the cybersecurity preparedness. She's been working on the drills that they have been undergoing. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Now, Shayna, I don't know how long is your history with Peace Health and the medical profession in general? How many years?
Sure. How many years? I'm on my 10th year at Peace Health.
And before that, were you in the medical field?
I was not. I actually started in the airline industry and then went to a government entity and worked in finance and then found myself in healthcare.
Oh. And Ruth, I know you've been busy a few years with Peace Health in general, and then more recently had assumed more roles with Peace Harbor Hospital here along the coast, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I've been with Peace Health for 35 years, been a nurse for nearly 40, and have been with Peace Harbor for the last 3 years.
So one of the things, and the reason I asked all that is because I know that, and even in the airline industry and other industries as well, so much has changed over the last couple of decades as far as everything going from, you know, paper information, from paper logs, charts and everything that weren't online. And so the old school folks may be a little more familiar with that, but as time has progressed, things have changed quite a bit, and maybe some of the new folks coming in and some of the new nurses and doctors and that don't have the same sort of longevity when it comes to non-internet-based information systems. So, Ruth, tell me a little bit about the changes you've seen over the years from paper charge to electronic.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I started in healthcare, nothing was electronic. Everything was paper. We had all the doctor's orders and all of the charting and the care documented for the patient on paper, including billing and finance and HR processes. Everything was on paper. At that point, during that time, you know, our healthcare system wasn't as complex or advanced as it is now. And so I would say, you know, when you look back, hindsight's 2020, but I think our care provided was very safe and very appropriate. A nurse could read a doctor's writing. Sometimes it was by committee, two or three of us all tilting our head kind of to the left or the right and saying, what do you think that says? And then going back to the doctor and asking him for clarification, that was not uncommon at all. And so we had a lot of redundant processes for safety. As healthcare has advanced and we've moved into an electronic age, we've had the advantage of safety measures being embedded in those electronic aids. And along with that has come complexity. And so our healthcare system now is much more complex, but I'd also like to say it's a lot safer because of those built-in safety measures that the electronic world provides to us. But there is an entire generation of physicians and nurses and allied healthcare professionals that have never worked in a paper system. They wouldn't know how to write an order. They wouldn't know what to do to process it or put it into place. And so we have a real worry that should we have a catastrophic failure of our electronic systems because of a cyber attack, that we would have healthcare members that would not know what to do. And so that's what our drills and our work at Peace Health is really aiming to focus, which is to make sure we have the safest care possible to our patients, regardless of the disruption in our electronic medical record.
And going back, talking about along the same lines, when you talk about a simpler time, a lot of folks were with the same doctors, sometimes for lifetimes, which meant all the records were in generally in one place unless they went to a specialist or something like that. So now with more specialists out there, more diverse care for separate areas, things have gotten more spread out. So the electronic system has helped to keep that with the patient as the patient moves forward.
Absolutely. You're able to get specialized care and consultation, and the providers can communicate much more seamlessly with each other in your medical record. And also being able to track care over time is much easier between specialists. So you're absolutely right. Without that electronic medical record, it would be much more difficult for our providers to be able to provide that care and communicate with each other through that electronic system.
And Ruth, as you mentioned, you know, with the danger and fear of a system going down, electronic system going down, whether from cyber attack, which, as we've seen in the news in the last several years, has grown and grown, but there could be many other reasons for an electronic failure of that. But Shana, tell me a little bit about the processes in place and how you unfolded this whole package, bringing people in to kind of re-immerse themselves into the paper world.
Sure. So 3 years ago, we had some fellow colleagues in a California health system who were on the inside of a very widespread cyber attack. It was Mother's Day of 2021, and we were hearing from the inside just the chaos that ensued. And our leaders at the system office here asked us, are we ready if Peace Health was hit with a cyber attack? Are we ready to safely care for our patients? And so what started in May of 2021 as a 3-month project to look at our downtime materials has become, well, gosh, we're on our third year, going into our fourth year, and we are really looking deeper than just a single downtime process. Most downtime processes are built around, you know, a 4-hour or a temporary downtime of one system or one software. And what we found when we looked at all of those was we weren't ready. No one's ready for this type of threat. So that's where we started. We started really focusing on critical patient care using the 80-20 rule and really saying, how can we simplify with all of what technology offers us, all of those bells and whistles, all of the safety aspects of it? How can we continue to care for patients safely without all of that technology? And so we started with our hospitals across the entire system. We are up in Ketchikan, Alaska. We're throughout Washington, Oregon. So we started in all of our hospitals and began building extended or catastrophic downtime processes using seasoned nurses and providers. So it was really neat as someone who was born in the 80s. I really loved watching all of these senior nurses and really incredible allied health partners and physicians come together and reminisce over times past and, oh, remember this Cardex, remember this, oh, I remember doing that. And I got to watch them recreate what used to be before technology. And then with their passion and their commitment to safe patient care, they continue to build on those and say, well, this is what technology does for us. How can we recreate this in a manual setting? So they began looking at ways to further improve and enhance what used to be done. And here we are 3 years later. We've also pulled in our medical group, so all of our clinics at Peace Health, as well as our home and community division, our home health, hospice, and palliative care. And we drilled this time, this summer, June, as one Peace Health, from clinic through the hospital to home care. And it is just an honor to be a part of this work and watch all of these incredible clinicians, physicians, nurses, allied health partners commit themselves to learning if they've never charted on paper, or remembering if they're one of those seasoned nurses, doctors, et cetera, who have done it before.
Now, Shana, there's also been the added, I don't know if it's a complication or benefit, with after COVID pandemic and that, you had a lot of remote record keeping done from folks that are doing it from home and that. Does that pose a problem in the system where an electronic or a cyber attack fail, or is that an added bonus of them being offsite?
Oh, gosh, no, it definitely creates an additional issue, but one that we've already remedied at Peace Health. We have HIM, we call them Health Information Management, and they are responsible for our records, medical records department. And through our revenue cycle partnership here at Peace Health, we've said we can redeploy 75 of our hospital coders to partner with our health information management department to manage our paper charts and to do those audits that they would be doing electronically so that we can prepare those charts and keep them safely on site. And one of the things that we realized during these One Peace Health drills in June was we really need to keep those paper records as close to the care location that the patient received care in case there is another visit within the time that we're down before we're able to reconcile those records. So it's a really interesting new world, but we'll be having a lot of conference rooms and secure locations that'll be redistributed or redeployed to being chart rooms.
Now, this is one of the other things that comes to mind that could be an issue in this is that when you have a patient that comes in that maybe has an extensive list of prescriptions or procedures that they've gone through, a lot of us folks, including myself, are not really good at knowing sometimes what we're taking. So is that something that takes into consideration about making sure that prescription information and all that is in one place?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, George. That was one of the aha moments that we had across our health system. We really rely on technology to tell us what's safe and where are there drug interactions. And while we can provide the safest care and know what we're giving our patients in-house, we don't necessarily know because of our offline systems what they're taking at home. So one of the recommendations we have for patients is for them to keep their last after-visit summary or printout from their doctor. And when they come to seek care, whether this health system is in a code cyber or a cyber security event or not, it's always a good idea to keep that. Know what drugs you're taking, how often, and what's the dose. Those are very important things to know as patients so that we can provide the safest care to you when you come to visit us.
Now, we don't always know what a cyber attack will do or how many areas it may affect on that and there, but there's so many different aspects, too, of the personal care, like MyPeaceHealth and having your own charts available electronically that you can look at. Is that something that's a concern that could be affected in a cyber attack as well? Are we looking at everything that could possibly happen, or are we thinking what is the most common thing?
Yes, sir. We are looking at everything. So we decided at Peace Health that we would plan for a catastrophic downtime, meaning everything is offline. My Peace Health, the electronic health record, our call systems, our telephones, our faxes, every computer that we have. And we have a guiding principle that is we will not use technology to replace technology failure. And so everything we anticipate could be impacted. And even though we're seeing some different impacts of cyber attacks across the nation for other health systems, every one system is built a little differently. And how a cyber attack happened yesterday, those bad actors are not doing the same thing each time, and they may find a way to impact something else. So there is no common thread when it comes to a cyber event. We just need to be prepared to provide the safest care in the manual setting without reliance on technology.
Now, Ruth, Shana mentioned an aha moment when it came to maybe patients not knowing, what they're taking, et cetera. What moments did you notice in the process? Did you see that goes, oh, this is something that we could address and have a successful outcome?
Yeah, patient care, of course, is at the center of what we're focusing on to keep our patients safe while they're in the hospital or in our clinics coming in for care. But I think one of my other bigger aha moments was, what about the caregivers? In a cybersecurity, in a downtime extended, I don't think we've mentioned, we're planning for like a 90-day being down. these bad actors, as Shana has alluded to, you know, they're actually asking for money to release our systems in cases where we're paying ransoms to get our electronic system on back online. But in the middle of that 90 days, we rely so heavily electronically to pay our caregivers their paychecks. So one of the aha moments, I think, for all of them was, my gosh, this is not just a 4-hour downtime before our electronic system is back. This could be extended for 90 days. And how am I going to get paid? Because I still have to pay my bills. I still have to get groceries for my family. And so one of those aha moments was the length of time and the it's big business for these bad actors that are out there earning money by putting everybody at risk. And we have to make sure our caregivers are also taken care of. So those were a couple of my biggest ahas.
So when Shana, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Oh, Ruth did a great job. And that's why we're drilling as One Piece Health and why our system office, our corporate office, is really leading the charge in all of the business downtime processes. So we call it business continuity. How do we pay our caregivers? How do we pay our bills? How do we keep our lights on? All of those things. So absolutely an aha moment and something we've continued to work on at Peace Health.
So one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you both today about this is so that the public could be informed and the public could have some safety and security of mind to know that things are or potentially could be taken care of very quickly. Ruth, can you kind of talk about that and let people know how did the drill go all in all when you were done?
I think our community knows we have something very special here at Peace Harbor. Our drill went exceptionally well. Our caregivers didn't shy away from really digging in and owning their departments to make sure that everything they do for our patients, that we had thought of everything, that we had thought about where do we keep these paper charts? How do we educate our caregivers to fill them out? Looking at those gaps so that it's clear, education needs to be set up in a way that will be fun and interactive, but also great learning for them so that when the time comes for them to interact with a paper world, they're not scared or unfamiliar with it. And so a lot of our leaders here at Peace Harbor in prep for this drill really took it very seriously. And I have to say, the team that came from the system office was very impressed with the level of preparedness. And I think one of the shining examples was our pharmacy department. We're incredibly lucky in the expertise and the knowledge we have in our pharmacy department here at Peace Harbor. And they have thought of everything to make sure that the medications we're giving our patients is accurate, is validated, is double checked, and that our patients will be safe. And so, you know, for me, it was a very clear moment that the culture here at Peace Harbor is a culture of yes, we can. We may not know how today, but we're going to figure it out together. And so the culture here, they pulled together as a team. They leveraged each other's expertise and knowledge, and they helped one another to make a web together to keep the patient at the center and the safest we could. And so for me, the drills went incredibly well. It was an exhausting day, I have to say. When you're in that level of intensity for a solid 8 hours, and we took just enough time to do a lunch break, but we moved from department to department, mimicking a patient's movement and illnesses, and really looked at all the processes. And so while it was exhausting, it was also very rewarding that this team is collaborative, prepared, and still on a quest of learning. So we don't figure everything out. We didn't get all the answers to all of our questions, but we identified any gaps that we need to close. and we also identified moving forward, it'll be a good idea to actually take that next step and ask a doctor to write orders that is never written with a pen on paper orders. Ask that nurse, okay, now you have this order, now what do you do? And really take those drills to the next level so that we can get into that detail and identify further gaps.
So I'm guessing what I'm hearing is that with electronic systems, a lot of redundancies are built in and a lot of safety measures are built in. You have taken the safety measures to the analog world as well with redundancies and double checking and making sure the process is going right. That's what I'm hearing.
Correct.
I tell you what, I'm glad that you folks are there doing that kind of stuff. But like I said, it sounds like a very stressful situation. But with a team that's willing to work at it, I'm sure success is there if were this to be an issue coming down the road. Ruth Frank is our Chief Nursing Officer and VP of Nursing Care. Shana Hogan is in Vancouver, and she's up there with the systems processes and helping out in that. Thank you both for joining us today.
Pleasure to join you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, George.
Last week, about 20 riders came through town raising money for cancer. We'll talk to the Texas 4000 team next.